I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A, and we're very happy that these guys were able to make it through the snow today. The Platte Valley Boys, who are playing at the Cabin Fever Festival this weekend. Welcome, guys.
Yeah, hi, thank you.
And it's actually four guys and one Platte Valley girl. And we have Ron, and correct me if I get any of these names wrong, Ron Colby on banjo. We have Scott Stebbins on mandolin here. Correct. We have Katie Jo Pidell playing the fiddle. We have Ross Willits on bass, yep. And then Tony Andreessen on guitar.
You got it.
All right. Hey. Well, the Cabin Fever Festival is happening this weekend. It's a new location this year. Now, this is an annual bluegrass festival that has been happening in Duluth. I'm not even quite sure how long it's been going on, but for a while. And 3 years? All right. Oh, 3 or 4? 4 years? All right. It's going on. You guys are actually going to be the main act tonight after kind of an open stage, right?
That's correct.
And then you're playing again tomorrow night. So, if you want more information on that, we have it on our website, KUMD.org. We've got a link to the Cabin Fever Festival events. But right now, let's hear a tune from the Platte Valley Boys. What do you guys want to start with?
Well, we're going to do an old Ernest Tubb number, one that we put on a record last year with Katie Jo, and it's called, what is it called?
Thanks a lot.
Passing by, said you were sorry that you made me cry, said I deserve everything I've got, now you're gone, honey, thanks a lot, thanks a lot, got a broken heart, and that's all I've got, you made me cry, and I've cried a lot, now you're gone, honey, thanks a lot. You laughed a lot. Now you're gone, honey. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. I got a broken heart, and that's all I've got. You made me cry, and I've cried a lot. Now you're gone, honey. Thanks a lot. Just need your love, honey. Thanks a lot.
The Platte Valley Boys, live from Studio A. And we're doing it old-school bluegrass style with just gathered around a couple of microphones. Everybody's kind of in a circle here. Always fun to have a band that kind of does it that way.
Now we're like the old-time way.
Yep, the old-time way.
And who are you calling old school?
Now, you guys are going to have to get right up on that microphone when you're talking. Otherwise, we will not be able to hear your wisecracks over there, young man.
Thank you.
Okay, so I want to know a little bit more about you guys, since this is your first visit here. Who wants to tell me a little bit? And you guys have been, the band itself started back in 1975, is that correct?
That's right. Yep.
And I'm really going to assume that not all of you were in the band at that time.
It's twice as old as I am.
Wow. So, yeah, I want to know, all right, tell me about the beginning of the band, and then how did we get the youngster Katie Jo in here?
Well, Ron and started the band in 75 with my father and two other members, and so out of the four that started it, three of them have long passed on, and Ron's still standing strong. My dad got me into the music when I was a lot younger than what she is, just a little kid. And so I've been playing since like 1982. Tony, when did you come in and join the group?
About 1998.
And Ross is the newest member.
That's right. I've only been in the band for about a month and a half now, so trial by fire every day.
Yeah. I'm not the newbie anymore.
Yeah. Well, we picked up Katie Jo a couple years back. She'd play a few gigs with us and everything else, and it was about 2 years ago or so. We were at a festival over in north of Brainerd, and she was playing that weekend with us, and she said, I want to play all the time, full time with you guys. So we said, nah, we're not going to let her. No, we're happy to have her. She's a fabulous fiddle player, and
We figured bringing her in the band would reduce the average age of the band, so that was a plus.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Katie Jo, what drew you to these guys? What made you want to jump aboard?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I guess I grew up my whole life going to these bluegrass festivals and playing fiddle and whatnot, and I guess you guys have been around longer than I've been alive, so it makes sense that I can't remember a time that the Platte Valley Boys didn't exist.
So you figured you could learn something.
Yeah, yeah, you know. Yeah, you guys, you old geezers seemed like you could have some fun.
We're still teaching you Jimmy Martin songs.
Yeah. Now I can imagine. So did you grow up in your family with this kind of music, and it was just kind of a normal part of your growing up? Or
sort of. I went to a private school where I had to play violin, viola, or cello in third grade, and I picked up the violin, and my mom said I could take fiddle lessons, and the rest kind of became history. I started going to the Minnesota Bluegrass and Old Time Music Association festivals, and met these guys, met a whole bunch of other music friends, and I've kind of been hooked ever since.
Now, how about you, Ron? Was this a part of your family growing up, this kind of music?
My father was an orchestra leader, played trumpet, but that ended with a car accident in about 1950, so I could have been a trumpet player, but not. I had to go away in the army to Berlin, Germany, to become a hillbilly. So I started playing bass with a band in the army over in Berlin, and from there I wanted to take up banjo and came back to Minnesota and put a band together.
Was there particular music that you heard that made you say, "Wow, bluegrass, that's it for me"?
Well, actually, I was in San Francisco before the army got me, and I bought my first banjo there. Because there was a lot of folk places that were thriving then, and it's a good place to listen to music. So, and that grabbed me. So I progressed into bluegrass from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how about you, Scott? You said that your dad, you know, you guys...
Yeah, I was pretty young. I didn't have a choice. I grew up with, you know, all Bill Monroe and the Reno and Smiley and mm-hmm. Stanley Brothers, Jim and Jesse, and Jimmy Martin's my favorite. That's what I'm proud about this band is we've tried to keep this... The tight harmonies and the real hard driving, not too fancy playing, but just that old time sound is what I, you know. Like I said, I had no choice in the matter, and I love it. I love it.
And are you based in the Twin Cities? Is that right?
Yep, we're based out of Twin Cities area.
Okay, and how much do you play a year? And how has that changed through the history of the band? Was there a time you were more or less active? Or
yeah, we've had a couple of times where we've only played maybe, you know, 4 or 5 gigs a year. Otherwise, like last year, we were pretty busy doing festivals. This year, we're pretty busy mm-hmm. playing festivals throughout all around the area. So, and a few one-night shows, you know.
We're doing probably an average 15 or 20 mm-hmm. shows a year now. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, and how does your repertoire, how has it evolved through the years? You know, the thing about bluegrass is you're always, you know, you go to these festivals, you're picking up other, you know, new old songs from people. And,
yeah.
And how has it changed? Has it evolved? What is?
Well, some people, I think it's changed a little bit. I guess we've changed, too, because, I mean, 5, 10 years ago, we did, you know, zero old-time country type of songs or stuff like that. Or even, like, what a modern type of country. Like, I think for our next song, we're going to do a Vince Gill number. And, you know, 10 years ago, we wouldn't have done that. But now we got her fiddle player. And I said, Katie, you got to learn this song. So we do a few more modern. I shouldn't say modern, but I mean, Vince probably recorded this song, what? I mean, maybe 15, 20 years ago. But,
yeah,
you know, that's new to me.
We love the traditional bluegrass. It's actually probably what drew me to the band is just how hard driving it is. But we're baby steps in the not completely old bluegrass direction, but still staying true to the roots at the same time.
Well, and just the example of having somebody like Katie in this band, I think, makes me think about how big the kind of bluegrass-influenced music has become in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's pretty far away from traditional bluegrass, but has that popularity? Does it seem like it's drawn younger people towards the traditional stuff, do you think?
I think so. Katie Jo is very much involved in the Bluegrass Association's teaching the grass seed kids. You could probably tell her a little bit about that.
Yeah, I help teach a kids' academy that's for kids age 8 to 18. It's at the Mabatmo Winter Bluegrass Weekend. It's March, like the first weekend in March, and it's a whole gaggle of kids, anywhere between like 50 and 70 kids that come for a whole weekend of, we form them into bands and we put them up on the stage on Sunday and they wow us every single year, and it's absolutely, I will stop talking because I could gush for hours about how awesome these kids are.
And this is, oh, go ahead.
I should say, too, that we write a lot of our own songs, too, but we keep it pretty much in a traditional bluegrass style.
Okay, okay. Well, let's hear another song. You said you were going to do a Vince Gill number?
Yeah, we'll do a Vince Gill number, and I just want to put this one out to my beautiful fiancé and the kids who are all driving up here, and I hope they have better luck than I did in this snowstorm, so... it was a pretty tough commute.
Oi, oi, oi. Yeah, happy spring, everybody.
Yeah, it's called The Hills of Caroline. I was born in Beaufort County, way back in the pines. That's where I hold the sweetest memories, in the hills of Carolina. Daddy wasn't much of nothing, spent his life doing time. Mama learned me about Jesus in the hills of Caroline. Met a girl whose name was Hattie, fair and tender, sweet and kind. She showed me how to love a woman in the hills of Carolina. I always thought that we would marry one sweet day, she would be mine. Now Hattie's gone to live with Jesus in the hills of Caroline. If I should die before tomorrow, just one request if you don't mind, just bury me
right next to Hattie in the hills of Caroline. Just bury me right next to Hattie in the hills of Caroline.
Those are the Platte Valley Boys live from Studio A. Very nice. Well, Tony and Ross, we haven't gotten your take on, tell me a little bit about yourselves and how you got into music and how you play got into this band in particular and playing bluegrass.
Well, this is Tony speaking. And
make sure you get right up close to that mic.
There you go. Is that better?
That's much better, yep.
Okay, I got into a bluegrass festival in Taylor's Falls, Minnesota, and I was listening to them jam at night. And I was a rock guitar player, and I was there for the bluegrass festival, and I always loved bluegrass. I never played it, but the first records I ever bought were bluegrass records, Reno and Smiley, and the first single I ever bought was by the Leuven Brothers, I Don't Believe You Met My Baby. Anyway, I was listening to them play, and I had a guitar, and they knew I was a rocker, and of course they said, well, you know, why don't you try to follow along with this, and you ever heard of Jimmy Martin? And I said, yeah, I've heard of him. Well, just see if you can follow along with this song, and they told me what song it was, and I said, what part do you want me to sing? And they looked at me really funny, and what do you mean? I said, well, I know this song. I've never done it, but I know it. So I did that song, and they were surprised that I knew all the songs that they were playing. So it must have been, I guess, 3, 4, 5 years later, we got friendlier, and I was jamming with them at festivals. And then the guitar player that they had went on tour to Europe, and they asked me if I wanted to sit in and play. And so I've been with them ever since. And the fellow that was in Europe, he left to form his own band. He moved out of town and went up by Pequot Lakes and formed a band called Lonesome Tradition. And I've been here ever since.
All right. And
well spoken.
How about you, Ross? Yeah. Oh, you got to come way over by the
mic. Yeah, I've got to come way over here. So I've been playing bluegrass in the Twin Cities for about 12 years and had a band with a bunch of friends called the Whistlepig String Band, and we actually played up here in Duluth a number of times, and St. Benedict's, and played Cabin Fever a couple of times. And then I was out of bluegrass for a little while when that band split apart. But Katie Jo was a member of the Whistlepig String Band back in the day, and when
way back
in the day, I actually met Katie Jo when she was 9 years old at a bluegrass festival. In Nisswa, the same one they're talking about, and this little 9-year-old kid came over, and our band was just rehearsing, getting ready to play, and she said, "Can I play with you? Can I play with you?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" And she joined us, and she never left our side for the next 10 years.
Wow!
Was I was a band stalker.
She was a stalker, but we didn't mind. At one point, we said, "You know, you're playing with us now, but soon we'll be playing with you."
And she's 12 now.
Oh,
gosh. I almost believe that. Now, you have to imagine the image here, and we'll put pictures up online later. But, you know, we've got these four guys who, you know, a little gray in their hair. And then we've got Katie Jo, who's got a little purple in her hair.
We're her chaperones.
And what's that T-shirt you're wearing? That's
It's Despicable Me Minions Carrying the TARDIS.
Yep.
Oh.
From Doctor Who. Okay.
Yep.
Well, like Ron said earlier, when she joined the group, it brought the average age down a little bit.
Just a little
bit.
We
all felt nice about.
A little bit.
I always say she gives the band a little class.
Well, it's just a fun combination of people and fun to see that you know, that bluegrass tradition is continuing, you know, within one band here. Now, you guys have done at least one album. Is that the only one? Are there more? Three.
We've done three total.
Goodness gracious. Mm-hmm. And Tell me about those. And
well,
the first two are out of print.
Yeah, they're out of print. That's good if you sell them all out, right? Yeah. I mean, but we only made 100 of them. No, I'm only kidding.
We have the new one here.
Yeah, we got the new one with us, which we'll have tonight with some coffee mugs and T-shirts. So if you're out there listening and you're going to come down to Cabin Fever tonight, we'll be looking forward to seeing you. Don't be afraid to come up and say hi and ask for a request for tomorrow's show if you're going to be around.
And throw your money down.
Yeah. So, but anyways, then our first album we recorded back in, I think, was it 1995?
96
range, somewhere there. Mm-hmm. And that was nice. It was a fun, good learning experience. Then we recorded one in, 2000?
2001.
And that was at a big studio in Minneapolis, big microphones and everything else. Our last album, which I think is our best work, was recorded actually in Tony's living room. And we had the perfect sound that we wanted out of there, and we kind of did like we're doing here with just two microphones together. So we did it the old-fashioned way, and we were really proud of that one. So
it was kind of true to what you do as a band in general.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse than being in a recording studio and the guitar player is 20 feet away behind a plastic wall, not even looking at you, and the banjo player is in a closet because he's so loud, you know. And then you can't feel it. And we play with heart. You have to play with heart. You have to have it in you, or it's, you know, that's what drives this band, I think. And then it's so nice when you can be in a tight group like this. So.
Yeah, it's kind of fun with the album. It's if you have a really souped-up speaker system and you feel like buying the album, it's kind of fun because you can hear kind of where people are. If you close your eyes, you can actually get that spatial sense, which is something that's fun to nerd out about if you're into that.
And we're all about fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you are a band that plays a lot of traditional stuff, you said you do some original stuff too, how do you pick from your repertoire what you're going to record?
I guess it depends on how we're feeling that day, who's got a good voice left or not. You know, sometimes somebody's scratchy, so we have to, you know, take one out of our set list. But we have, you know, since like I've joined the band too, we've done and we could sit down at a all day event and probably play 200 songs minimum without forgetting the words on a lot of them, you know, so we know a lot. But if we get into a groove where we'll do, you know, 10 or 12 in a certain show, you know, that we're really familiar with, especially now that Ross has only been in the band a month, you know. But we just did a four-hour gig on St. Patrick's Day, and you did real well there, buddy.
Flying by the seat of my pants.
Yeah.
Give you an example. When we were recording, we had done several slow songs, medium songs in a row, and came to the end of our night of recording and figured, we gotta shake the cobwebs out of ourselves, so let's do Rawhide, so which is real fast.
Except we just finished eating pizza, so we were all super full.
Well, it's a good thing it's an instrumental because we didn't have to burp the lyrics out. But anyway, that turned out so well that it ended up on the album. So it was not planned.
Fun. Well,
yeah, two of us learned that song during that one take.
Yeah. But you could say probably a lot of our music is done by inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I would say.
Okay. Well, let's hear some more of that inspiration now. We have time for one more. What do you want to finish up with here?
Well, I always forget the guy that wrote it, but it's Richard Thompson, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay, I'm glad I got that right. Ross is shaking his head at me. This is from over in England. I actually, the only version I've heard that I loved it on was a Del McCurry had it out a few years ago, and his boys, the Del McCurry Band, and they made a big hit out of it too. Katie Joe a couple weeks ago was like, Scotty, how about this song? We've just started doing this a little while ago. We have a lot of fun with it. But I said, yeah, we can do that one. So we're just kind of getting going on it. It gets better each time we do it, I hope. And it's called 1952 Vincent Black Lightning. Said Red Molly to James, that's a fine motorbike. A girl could feel special on any such a light. Said James to Red Molly, my hat's off to you. It's a Vincent Black Lightning 1952. Well, I've seen you at the cafes and the corner, it seems. Red hair and black leather, my favorite colored schemes. And he pulled around behind.
can't spill, they did right. Said James to Red Molly, here's a ring for your right hand. I'll tell you in earnest, I'm a dangerous man. I fought with the law since I was 17. I robbed many a man to get my Vincent machine. Well, I'm 21 now and I might make 22. I don't mind dying but for the love of you. Any fate you break my stride, then I'll give you my Vincent to ride. Sergeant McCray, they've taken James Avery for armed robbery. Shotgun blast hit his chest, left nothing inside. Come down, Red Molly, to his dying bedside. Well, she went to the hospital, there wasn't much left. He was running out of road, he was running out of breath. But he smiled to see her cry. Said, I'll give you my Vincent to ride. Said, James, my opinion, there's nothing in this world beats 52 Vincent and a red-headed girl. Now Nortons and Indians and Grievous won't do. Well, they don't have a soul like a Vincent 52. Well, he reached for hands and he slipped her the keys. Said, I don't have no further use for these. I see angels and aerials and leather and chrome coming down from heaven to carry me home. And he gave her one last kiss and died. And he gave her his Vincent to ride.
The Platte Valley Boys, live from Studio A, doing Richard Thompson's 1952 Vincent Black Lightning. Nice version, guys. That sounded great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for stopping in. And all right, you guys are playing at the Cabin Fever Festival, which is going on this weekend down at the Inn on Lake Superior. And I pulled up the schedule here so I can kind of give people the skinny on it. It kicks off tonight at 7, and there's some open stage stuff going on. And then you guys are going to be playing at 10, right?
Correct.
Yep.
All right. And then tomorrow there are workshops throughout the day starting at 10 a.m. Are you guys, any of you involved in any of the workshops?
We're doing two workshops beginning at 10. One is singing with bluegrass harmony.
Oh.
And then
Boy.
The second half.
10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Second half is we encourage people to bring their instruments, and it's called Jam with the Band. So people can get up and play with us and name songs they want to do. And
just hang out.
Hang out.
For an hour.
Talk about bluegrass stuff. And then there's music starting at noon along with the workshops. And then there's a break in the middle there. And then at 7 o'clock, music starts up again. And then on Sunday, there's morning stuff going on with kind of a gospel theme at 9 a.m. And again, if people want more information on the Cabin Fever Festival, you can go to our website, KUMD.org. And on our events page, there's a link right there that will send you to where you can find more information.
I might say our final concert is actually Saturday night at 8 o'clock.
Okay, so you guys, you guys playing again on Saturday. Thank you so much, guys. It's been
yeah, you're
a
welcome. Thank
us.
You for having
thanks,
us.
Christine.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Arts. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.